This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we bid you so very welcome. It's such a pleasure to be sharing some of the things that God is revealing out of His Word. This week we're studying the subject, Freedom Under Authority, that God has placed us in authority relationships, and that in fact He's dealing with us most of the time indirectly. He's dealing with us through those human authorities that surround us. We just barely scratched the surface yesterday in talking about parents and children and began to see a couple of generalizations emerging. First of all, that on either side of the relationship, parent or child, there are responsibilities for the Christian. And those responsibilities are not reciprocal. They are not dependent upon the other person carrying out his or her responsibilities. I was talking primarily about the children's responsibility because that's where the emphasis really is, that we never outgrow being our parents' children. No matter what honors we attain, no matter what authority we might exercise in other relationships, we're still our parents' children. And the child, for as long as he lives, is called upon to honor his parents. And I suggested that as we grow up, we outgrow the necessity of obedience to our parents, but we never outgrow the responsibility to honor them. Perhaps that responsibility becomes most pressing when we find that we do have to disagree with our folks. You know, you see this a lot with kids who become Christian. Sometimes they have the feeling that because they're now Christian, they're responding to the Lord Jesus Himself, therefore they're not under any obligation to their parents. Nothing could be further from the truth. Should the parents make a requirement of those kids that is contrary to what God has said, then of course those kids must not obey the parents. But you know, even in that instance, they're to disagree in a spirit of honoring and respecting their folks. Most of the time, of course, it won't come to that. There are very few instances where the parents aren't trying to operate in the very best interest of their kids. And I say to Christian kids all the time, you know, if you want to find greater freedom in your life in relationship to your folks, why don't you try going out of your way to be caring toward them, to finding ways in which you can show them that you love them and that you honor them. If they want you home by 11, you get home by 10:30. If they ask you to do a particular job, you find a way to do that and more. And you watch what begins to happen as your parents find themselves reassured that you really do care about them and love them. Coming to the Lord Jesus ought to make us more responsive to the authorities around us rather than less so. The limit to that is that when the authority commands what God has forbidden or forbids what He has commanded, then of course we must not obey that human authority. It's not that we have a right to disobey. We have an absolute responsibility to disobey. But it's only should the authority in question try to get us to disobey God outright. The other side of the coin is the father's responsibility to the children. And Christian parents have a responsibility to train up their kids in the way they should go, to do everything they can to set the tone within the household and to bring those kids up to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd suggest that that involves modeling relationships for those kids and something more. I'd suggest that it involves quality time spent with our kids. This is something I'm struggling with personally all the time, as the opportunities for ministry and the demands of ministry are taking time away from home and family. I find myself continually needing to re-examine my priorities. Suggestion I picked up a long time ago, I'd pass along to you, is that from time to time, fathers especially, fathers would carve out some quality time and spend it one-on-one with their kids, especially with their daughters, that they would date their daughters, that they would take their daughters out for a special evening and let it be a very wonderful time of getting dressed up and going and doing something, go out to dinner or a show or perhaps whatever the girl wants to do, and be a model to her of what it's like to go on a date so that she begins to have some backlog of experience against which to test some of the relationships that she's certainly going to be coming into with young men. Well, I want to move on today to the relationship of husband and wife. And by the way, I just will comment that we're going to be talking about this particular subject all next week. So we'll be expanding a good deal more than is available this morning. But I just want to touch on it so that you see that exactly the same dynamics come into play as we move to another authority relationship. I'm again in Ephesians, this time chapter 5. And I want to begin with verse 21. Unfortunately, so much of the discussion of husbands and wives in the last decade has begun with the next verse. Verse 22 says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord." That's Scripture. That's the Word of God, and I don't want to minimize that for one second. There is a responsibility on the part of the wife to be subject to her husband as unto the Lord, as if he were the Lord himself. But that's not where the discussion begins. It begins one verse earlier. Ephesians 5, verse 21, "Be subject to one another." Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. How does that work out? Yes, it certainly involves wives being subject to your husbands as unto the Lord. But before you ever get there, be subject to one another. There's been so much teaching in our day about submission, subjection, that I think we have a very warped understanding of it. We have the idea that if I'm called to submission to an authority, that means I do whatever that authority says, no matter what. And Christian wives have been browbeaten as we've rolled up the Bible into a club and smashed it down on their heads for at least the last 10 years. Christian wives have been told whatever thing your husband says, you are to obey, even if he's not a Christian. And so I've had any number of women come into my office and say, "My husband is telling me that I may not participate in Bible study. My husband is telling me that I may not go to prayer and praise services. My husband is saying this, that, or the other thing." And sadly, tragically, often, their husband, who is not a Christian, is telling them not to do something that God himself is telling them to do. And so I say again, authority ends where it disagrees with what God has said. Be sure that you know what God has said. Be sure that you're hearing God on the subject. Sometimes we're feeding into that what we would want to hear, what we think we would want to hear. Sometimes Christian wives are absolutely neglecting their marriages by running off to meeting after meeting after meeting because they don't like particularly what's going on in the home. But if your husband forbids you to participate in Christian worship, he's countermanding what God himself has said. God has said, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." If a husband should come up with some idea that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God, the wife's responsibility to obey him ends at that very point. But it's even bigger than that. Be subject to one another out of reverence to Christ. Yes, the Christian wife is called to a degree of submission to her husband's leadership, but the Christian husband is also called to a degree of submission to his wife's insights and sensitivities and her sense of leading from God. And that's where the discussion has to begin. What interests me about this particular passage, this whole last paragraph of Ephesians 5, is that all it says to the wife is that one statement. "Wives, be subject to your husbands as unto the Lord." Perhaps that's enough. Perhaps that's more than enough. But the rest of the paragraph, the entire rest of it, is addressed to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. And what's the measure of that? That he gave himself up for the church. Dr. Barnhouse of the Last Generation made the comment at his daughter's wedding, "No woman will ever find it difficult to submit herself to a man who is willing to be crucified for her." What's the measure of headship? It's service. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Does that mean he's to lord it over his wife to demand that she cater to his every whim? Not for one second. The demonstration of headship is the way that Jesus treats the church. And he serves the church. He's the one who gets up from table and washes his disciples' smelly feet. He's the one who's willing to carry the sins of his disciples to a cross of crucifixion. And even after that, he continues to serve. Even after he's glorified, he comes as the head of the church and still ministers to it. You want to be the head of your marriage, husbands? Then you serve your wives. That's the commitment. That's what headship means. Service in love. It's remarkable that submission and headship look more and more like the same thing as you examine them more carefully. Submission is a matter of serving in love, and headship is exactly the same thing. Headship is far more a matter of responsibility than it is prerogative. The husband is responsible for the well-being of his wife. And so it goes on and says that husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hates his flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. For what reason? So that the husband can love and cherish and nourish his wife. He's to care for her needs, both physical and spiritual. What is headship? It's taking care for your wife. It's putting her best interests, her chief interests, above your own. And as you enter into that responsibility, you're going to find that she, in turn, will find it far easier to be submissive to your leadership. That's the pattern. That's the pattern in every one of these relationships. It's a 100%, 100%. You know, the New Testament knows absolutely nothing of 50-50 marriage. It's 100%, 100%. And as we see that I can only be responsible for my part, and I trust God that he's going to deal with my partner, we find the formula for success. And that's the inside story.